Yes, indeed, the ultimate underdog story continues as the little podcast that could, we continue chugging along, bypassing the monolithic AEW and WWE podcast to bring you something fresh, something new, something inviting. Come on in, take a seat. This is the Wrestling Podcast. That's wrestling spelled W-R-S-T-L-I-N-G. We cover all the graps, but without the E. That means we're going to Japan, which is where we're at this week. We go to the US, we go to the UK, we go to India, we go to Mexico, Australia. We go everywhere to bring you the freshest, most vibrant wrestling in the entire world. My name is Liam Wyatt. This guy is Gareth.
Konnichiwa.
Perfect. Caught me off guard. I love it. And you are on the Inside the Ropes Network. Thank you so much for joining us once again and keeping the good fight alive, pushing this thing on. The podcast is, of course, available every single Friday over on itrwrestling.com. It's up there for 24 hours before it lands in all of your podcast feeds. So please do go check it out. And we've got a really fun episode this week. We are in Japan. We are talking about the G1, New Japan's G1 tournament, the last 3 days, in fact. And we are also so proud and so pleased to have our very first interview segment on the show with none other than Takesta from DDT Pro Wrestling alongside Mr. Haku, who is the wonderful man behind the DDT English Twitter account, the gateway into DDT. That's coming up in the latter portion of the show. But first, it is 3G1s. Crowd say bow. Selector. Yep, 3G1s. Crowd say bow. 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 Let's get into it, Gareth. What did you think of the last three shows of the G1 tournament?
A nice way to finish up a good tournament that took place despite all the goings on in the world. You know, we were very lucky as wrestling fans to have some of the non-Japanese talent taking part this year. Before they were announced, thought it was just going to be right. They're just going to have to pull from the pool of Japanese talent. So yeah, we're quite lucky to have the talent that aren't based out there fly in and take part. They all held out their ends of the bargain. Yeah, and we got some stuff that's going to be really interesting going forward, leading us into Wrestle Kingdom season.
Absolutely. So if this is your first exposure to the G1, welcome. This is the premier tournament in New Japan, and possibly all of Japan, in fact. The way it usually works is that you have two pools of wrestlers, the A block and the B block, usually a set amount. It's a round robin within the block. Everybody fights everybody. You get 2 points for a victory, 1 point for a draw, and 0 points for a loss. And then the two competitors with the highest amount of points from A block and B block respectively will clash in the finals to crown the winner of that year's tournament. And generally speaking, that man will go on to face the IWGP world champion, or the top belt in New Japan, at Wrestle Kingdom the following year. Wrestle Kingdom generally takes place in January, very shortly after New Year's Day. Just to put a finer point on it, so previous winners of the G1 include legendary Japanese grappler and, in fact, New Japan founder Antonio Inoki. Andre the Giant won it on multiple occasions. Hulk Hogan, you might be surprised to know, also won that. And AEW's Kenny Omega, to name but a few. So this year's tournament, as Gaz said, had quite a lot of stories going into it that are going to play out over the coming weeks and months, and particularly heading into Wrestle Kingdom. And I think that's probably my favorite part of the G1, is that there's so many stories. It's not just a tournament for the sake of it. There's not just wrestling for the sake of it. Of course, there's a few guys in there that don't necessarily have an arc per se. They are just wrestling. Generally speaking, we are covering a multitude of stories that last over the breadth of the tournament and either conclude at the end or act as a springboard onto the next phase of New Japan's storytelling.
We saw a few storylines sort of develop. Some of them obviously climaxed during the G1 climax, but some of them have just been set up to take place going forward. You can see the seeds have been planted for the January 4th Wrestle Kingdom. Well, January 3rd, January 5th? I can't remember, because it's going to be a two-night Wrestle Kingdom this year, like last year, which for my money I think is a great spreading out over two nights.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was more of a fan of the one night. I get that you have more room for variety and more people on the card, but for whatever reason, I liked it condensed into just one sort of super epic show as opposed to spread out. But I can see the merit, and hey, more good wrestling, sign me up.
Any matches in particular stand out from these three shows for you, Liam?
Yeah, as it happens, we were treated to quite a few really decent matches, particularly on the finals of the A block, I thought. I thought it was a slightly stronger show than the B block finals. In the main event, was New Zealander Jay White against perennial bridesmaid Tomohiro Ishii. So Jay White, for people that haven't seen him, is wonderful. He's a real snivelling, dastardly heel, and he's fantastic. Ishii has no neck, is just the hardest man in the world. And he puts on the best matches, you know, real slugfest, but he never quite wins the big one. And I think most New Japan fans live in hope that one day that he will. Anyway, they met in the final match of the night, and Jay White needed to win it in order to go through to the finals. Otherwise, Kota Ibushi, who had wrestled a chap by the name of Taichi earlier in the evening, would be going through in his place. And as it happened, he couldn't get the job done, and Ishii managed to pull off what you could call a bit of an upset victory. But anyway, a really great match there, a good way to finish off the show. What did you make of that one?
For me, Ishii's always somebody that I feel like almost no matter who he's wrestling, he stands a good chance of winning the match. It's never certain. He could definitely pull out the win, yeah, which I really enjoy. Like, he's in that spot where he's always dangerous. Mm. Somebody that I think a lot of people would love to see get nudged up actually into the heavyweight title scene proper.
Yeah, he's the male counterpart to Jungle Kiona from Stardom.
I've previously heard somebody describe him, so this was one of the hosts of WrestleSplania, described him as a refrigerator in bike shorts.
Yeah, okay.
Which I love. He's just, he's almost like Mr. Strong. He's just a square.
He's such a solid man as well, isn't he?
No, I love him, and he's absolutely no nonsense.
No.
And so I thought pairing him off against the kind of cocky, annoying as hell Jay White was a really fun character comparison.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I really enjoyed he was just having none of Jay White's rubbish.
Indeed.
Watching this match, it made me really think that Jay White wrestles, he thinks he's a lot like tougher and stronger and better than he actually is.
Yeah, yeah. Which is great for a bad guy.
Yeah, he's convinced he's like top guy and tries to wrestle like he is, but it just doesn't work.
That's been one of the other interesting stories that have been running through the G1, because not only does he think he's the top guy, but he also perhaps rightfully thinks he's the top guy in the Bullet Club faction, which is a big sort of heel bad guy faction. As I say, a really good match to finish off the show. Earlier in the night, as I alluded to, Kota Ibushi beat a chap named Taichi. Kota is super athletic, really, really likable, a real sort of proper baby face, I would say, a real good guy.
And a massive himbo.
Perfect.
He doesn't like to read because it makes him imagine.
And he was going up against a man by the name of Taichi, who, you know, previously I hadn't really thought a lot of. He comes out, he's got a bit of a Phantom of the Opera kind of gimmick going on. He comes out and he's sort of voicing the lyrics to a song.
He's got like an anime villain sort of aesthetic, I think.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He's a slightly more upmarket version of Team Rocket, isn't he?
Yeah, like a real flair for the dramatic.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't a massive Tai Chi fan prior to this tournament, but he's actually really impressed me throughout, and this match is no different. But this was one of the more unique matches I think you're ever likely to see, because there was not one wrestling move in it. No, no. In fact, bar the finishing strike, which was a knee to Tai Chi's face, otherwise known as the Komagoi, the entire match was kicks.
One attempted backdrop suplex.
Oh, okay, fine.
But which was countered. I think Taichi went for it, but Ibushi slipped out the back door
and kicked him. I thought this was incredible. Have you ever seen anything like this?
It was just a really interesting deconstruction of like the wrestling match as a format. It's like, how much can you do beyond the normal match structure and still make it interesting?
Yeah.
But I think you've got these two characters that I think both these guys have fairly strong characterization.
Mm-hmm.
So you can stay with it because you're like, oh yeah, kind of I get why each of them is just throwing these kicks.
Yeah. And I thought almost reminded me, I suppose the step back from that would have been the Go Shiozaki Fujita match in Noah earlier this year, where they didn't actually touch each other for the first 30 minutes. They were just staring at each other and all the drama was in the stare down. This is the next one up from that, where they just kick each other.
Suzuki Shingo rematch. Those are two of my favorite wrestlers for 2020, both of them right there. You know, I think they're both hard pressed to put on a bad match.
Yep, agreed. Minoru Suzuki is a marvel of nature at this point, isn't he? You know, he's into his 50s and possibly had his best year in ring ever.
Night two was pretty full on as well. A couple of different ways the maths could work out to determine who was going to be the B block finalist. I thought the best of these matches for me was Naito versus Kenta.
Yeah, agreed. Naito, Tetsuya Naito, of course, the current IWGP heavyweight champion. The champion does generally compete in the tournament. I'm not quite sure what happens if they win it, though. Oh, they select their opponent, don't they?
That's right.
I would select no one.
Or just select the biggest jobber in the company.
Yeah, or a friend who might be willing to be bought.
Really great showcase for Kenta and how much kind of more confidence he has, because he competed in last year's G1 and was, you could say, was maybe still a little bit shaky coming off of his failed run in America. But, you know, I just thought he absolutely nailed it here.
Yeah, and he's part of a really interesting storyline as well with the Bullet Club faction. They've introduced Kenta, Jay White, and the recently turned Evil, who turned evil.
Evil's like a big pastel goth.
And they're all kind of the alpha males, but there can only be one leader of the Bullet Club. And all throughout the tournament, they were kind of making slightly barbed comments about one another in their post-match interviews. So interesting to see where that one goes.
It always seems to be, given a long enough timeline, Bullet Club descends into civil war.
Yeah, who would have thought it, eh? They need to change the name. If they made it like Hug Club, then then they might all get on a little bit better. Although that said, look at Chaos. It's hardly organised.
You know, just throwing this out there, but perhaps we see some defections from Bullet Club to Empire.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. So Empire is the new stable on the block. We think they're called Empire anyway. Founded by the UK's Will Ospreay. He turned on Kazuchika Okada in one of the A-block matches.
And I'm surprised they're not called Diablo Loco, but I guess they don't have Hiromu's crazy brain.
Yeah, although I like the idea that that whole card game advert that Ospreay was doing could potentially have planted the seed in his head. Like, I want my own faction. This would be fun. like somebody playing Football Manager and then just going out and getting involved in the local team. I love it. It's great. But yeah, this was really well done. A really good heel turn. The debut, or the re-debut rather, of the Great Okan, and a first appearance in New Japan for B Priestley. And B currently wrestles in Stardom, which is owned by the same company that owns New Japan. If this means that we're going to get more crossover between those companies, then this should be seen as a very, very good thing. I think that will freshen New Japan up no end. That's potentially very, very exciting.
That was my thought watching this. I was like, oh, maybe this means the borders between New Japan and Stardom might be a little bit porous now.
Yeah.
They did have a Stardom match on the before Wrestle Kingdom last year.
Yep, true.
Like a tag match to open the show for the live audience.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit of a piecemeal kind of offering. I don't know, because it wasn't even televised. But this feels a bit more like it's going somewhere. And hey, I'm just throwing this one out there. How about you could have Will Ospreay versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom, or you could have Will Ospreay and B Priestley versus Okada and Julia, which I would love, love, love. What do you think about that?
I would be very into that.
Well, let's watch this space. So going on to the finals, this was Sanada of the Los Ingobernables de Japón stable. Interestingly, the same stable as current champion Naito, against Kota Ibushi. And this was a really long, kind of well-paced match. Had all the hallmarks of a New Japan banger. I felt like it started slow, but by the end, I was absolutely invested. I thought they really did a great job.
I liked it. I think I maybe would have enjoyed it more if I didn't struggle so much generally to get excited about Sanada.
Yeah, I mean, going back to, I think it was last week, was it? We were talking about Impact week before, and I made the comparison with Sanada and Willie Mack in terms of a slightly limited range of emotion. I thought he was better here, a little bit more animation, but still, there's, when you compare it to someone like Ibushi, where the emotion literally pours out of that man, it's difficult.
Night and day there between Sanada and Ibushi.
But this was an interesting one in the sense that Sanada was actually the architect of his own downfall. He had Ibushi locked in the Skull End, which is like a dragon sleeper, and the referee was actually checking Sanada's arms to see if he was still awake. So, you know, he picks him up by the wrist, and if the wrist drops, then they'll check it once or twice more, and then call the whole thing off. The referee was checking the wrist, and Sanada let the hold go so he could go up top to hit his patented moonsault, which he learned from Keiji Muto, the Japanese legend who trained him. And in doing so, opened himself up to a counter, and then Kota Ibushi won the match. And it's interesting that that happened here, because it's not an uncommon occurrence in New Japan. When you think of Minoru Suzuki, for example, the amount of times he's got a match won with the sleeper hold, but he's obsessed with hitting that gotch pile driver because he's a sinister little shit, and it's the worst possible move he could think to hit somebody with. And that often is his downfall. I'm so sorry that I just called Minoru Suzuki a little shit. I didn't mean it. Please don't come at me. And also, if you're looking for an opponent, remember that Gareth slagged off Loki last week. Let's not move on from that.
Don't deflect. Even in defeat, they put Sonata over big here, I think, by having him. I think they said on commentary he was the first man to kick out of the Kamigoye.
Yeah, I thought he did himself the world of good. I still don't know if I could see him taking that next step. I don't know if he's kind of butting up on his ceiling now. But hey, let's see. He definitely made a good account of himself here. By the way, just going back to a previous conversation you and I had over WhatsApp, just to peel the curtain back. I suppose you happen to remember who your boy here picked to win the G1, do you?
No, not a clue.
No, not a clue? Okay, cool. Don't worry about it then. Let's move on. me neither. That's fine. So Kota actually makes some history here. He not only became the first wrestler to compete in three back-to-back G1 Climax finals, but he also won two back-to-back, which hasn't been done since the early noughties by Hiroshi Tenzan. So good stuff from Kota. He goes on to the big show, potentially against Naito. And if you've seen those guys wrestle each other before, pray for their necks, because this one's going to get snappy.
The two men that hate their necks, Naito and Ibushi, doubly so when they're facing off against one another.
Yeah, definitely. This has to be his year, doesn't it, Ibushi? You would think, because he's never won the IWGP title before, but he feels like he's fully rooted in New Japan, having been something of a globetrotter prior to this. And I feel like this has to be the time.
Surely.
Good stuff. Well, I think that pretty much wraps us up for the G1. I would encourage you to go check it out if you could. It's all up on njpwworld.com. It's always a fun tournament. And next up for New Japan, you have Power Struggle. And that will lead into the combined Best of Super Juniors and World Tag League tournaments, which, of course, we'll be covering right here on the Wrestling Podcast.
Coming up now, we've got a really exciting interview with DDT star Konosuke Takeshita, along with Mr. Haku, who facilitates the interview. He runs the DDT English account. We were so honored to have Takeshita join us this week. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview.
Yeah, it's a very rare interview delivered entirely in English, so we couldn't appreciate it more. For those of you that are unfamiliar, Takeshita is a lifelong DDT pro wrestler. He's won essentially every title that's available to him in that promotion, nearly anyway. And I think it's probably fair to say that he's one of the best pro wrestlers on the entire planet at this point. He's only 25 years old, plenty more upside to come from him. And it was an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be able to have this conversation with him.
Takeshita, we're really hoping that this podcast is going to introduce some new fans to DDT. Mm. How would you describe DDT to new fans?
DDT promotion is only one promotion, because strong style and comic style mix, but only one.
It's true. I think that's why we enjoy it so much, definitely.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
So, leading on from that, how would you describe Takeshita to those that are unfamiliar with you?
I fight serious, many serious fights, strong style, but I have DDT blood in my body. So, for example, Danshok Dino, Yoshihiko, I fight many times. To me, many matches, sometimes good match, but I'm KOD heavyweight champion before, strong match only, but strong match and comic match mix. It's a DDT style.
Yeah, that's fair. And many people call you the ace of DDT. Is that something that gets in your head? Do you like being called that?
I think now I'm not DDT's ace yet, but audience and
media
called me DDT's ace. So I'm glad to call me ace, but more strong. I'll be more strong. So
the company dubbed him the future of DDT when he debuted, but recently he's been saying, I am forever the future, not in a negative way, but to signify that he always wants to keep getting better, that his tomorrow is always better than his today.
Right. Great. That's really good. And I suppose, speaking of aces, some fans might not be aware that you've wrestled Hiroshi Tanahashi from New Japan before. What was that match like for you?
About maybe 6 years ago. So 6 years ago, I was a young boy. 19 years old.
Wow.
So yeah.
That match experience only. So Hiroshi Tanahashi's match. So right. Now if fight again, I try Konosuke Takeshita's match.
Right.
Hi. Konosuke Takeshita's fight. Hi.
The style of match.
Perfect.
Some other high-profile names you've wrestled during your DDT career have been Kenny Omega and El Generico. What did those matches mean to you?
I became a worldwide pro wrestler. So my理想の fight style.
His ideal style of fighting, his ideal image of a wrestler.
So, for example, Japanese wrestlers are Japanese only. Sometimes, US match, UK match, sometimes. But, for example, Generico-san is many country. This style is best, I think. そうだから、私もなりたいです。
He wants to be a wrestler like that that can fight in a style that can be that can work, that can adapt to many different countries and not just Japan.
Worldwide wrestler. 、はい、
Perfect.
Would you like to wrestle outside of Japan more, do you think? So you've wrestled in the UK and the US?
Of course. When things return to
normal,
I want to go to many countries. Hi.
In a talk show before, I think you said the UK was your favorite place to wrestle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
That's interesting. How did it compare to wrestling in DDT? Was it very different?
UK though.
He fought at a Schadenfreude show. Chris Brooks brought him over last September.
September. Audience fan reaction difference. For example, Japanese audience, Japanese people are shy
and polite.
Yeah.
So, for example, DDT fans, many fans, but no sound. Take a picture, watching only, but UK fans Ring, bam, 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 bam. Sound, 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 sound. Call and response. I'm feeling it's very good.
It's nice. That's good.
That's good.
So going back to Kenny Omega, before the pandemic, he seemed to be very keen to face you. Is this a match that you would like to revisit down the line?
Of course, I want to fight Kenny Omega again. When Kenny Omega is DDT company, many fight. For example, single match about 4 times, 5 times, all lose. I all lose. And KOD Tag Championship, Horakuen Show, me and Endo versus Ibushi and Kenny Omega. I beat Kenny. Our DDT's match, last match. So, final match is I over him. So, next one more, please. Kenny-san, onegaishimasu.
I will say we're very looking forward to that. We really hope that happens.
So, within DDT, there's a lot of top contenders like Endo and Mao, for example. Who would you consider your biggest rival in the company?
I think nothing. Because I'm now, for example, KOD title championship, defense level.
He has the record for most defenses.
Yes, and biggest muscle and strongest wrestling. So nothing. But now grow up many young wrestlers. For example, Mao, Ueno, Shunma Katsumata is a recently Shunma is a fight BJW deathmatch fighter. Other place, grow up. Then maybe five years after, many strong young boys. So
he's looking forward to the future crop that's coming up because we have a lot of talent in that pool right now.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. So earlier this year, DDT came under the Cyberfight banner with sort of Noah and Tokyo Yoshi Pro and others. What did you make of that development?
My idea is mixed match is best. For example, DDT no tag team match, or DDT wrestlers, Tokyo Josh TJPW wrestler versus Noah wrestler TJPW wrestler mixed match. It's a dream match, many dream match maybe. So I hope make dream match many.
Okay, lovely. And speaking of Tokyo Yoshi Pro, obviously like Yuka Sakazaki has been in AEW. Mm-hmm. Is that somewhere you would like to visit at some point?
Of course. Hi. I fight AEW. I tell DDT good company. I fight when I fight AEW ring. I tell good point. DDT sells many people. Many fans.
Yeah.
Because there is that relationship, not just, you know, at the Kenny Omega level, who has been in a DDT ring as a AEW roster member, We have many guys over there right now. Sammy Guevara, Colt Cabana, Ricky Starks, Thunder Rosa, you know, a lot of our extended DDT family is already in AEW. So, you know, the relationship is already there, and, you know, we'd love more of our talents to AEW, you know, of course, when things subside and we return to where we can send our wrestlers. And, you know, that goes for them sending their wrestlers over too.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I think the more of that we can see, the better, really.
So we spoke a little bit earlier about sort of Chris Brooks and you wrestling in the UK. I wondered if there was anyone else you'd noticed from the UK scene that you'd particularly like to see in DDT?
I think, for example, Japanese wrestlers, almost Japanese wrestlers, company join.
You know, in Japan, wrestling companies are not promotions, but they're companies where they have roster, full-time members, you know, very little freelance action. So that's a little different from like the UK scene.
Yeah.
UK のレスラーはフリーだから、みんながベストな試合をする。
So he likes how it's always everything on the line for the UK wrestlers each time they're on a show, so that, you know, they have to perform or their spot is not guaranteed. So they have to put on their best match every time they're on a show, and that's what he likes a lot about UK wrestlers.
Cool. それに影響を受けました。
And that has influenced him a lot in how he wrestles.
この選手ってどうですか？ YouTube。でもやっぱり本当に
好きな選手。
UK の好きなレストランはピート・ダン。
He loves Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
he's fantastic, isn't
he's
he?
The best, yeah.
You know.
And Gene Money, do you know? Hi. My favorite UK wrestler is Gene Money.
Amazing.
He's great. Yeah.
This boy is a real wrestling nerd. He spends a lot of time on YouTube finding wrestlers to show him. Any of which we ended up booking because he found on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
One example would be from Australia. There's this wrestler, Royce Chambers. It's a 19-year-old that we found from Melbourne City Wrestling, precisely because he found him on YouTube and just sent him a DM, just slid into his DMs and said, hey, do you want to work for DDT?
Amazing.
That's really cool.
I lived in Melbourne for a year and loved getting to grips with their wrestling scene as well. There's a lot of good talent over there.
Yes, so that's another market we'd like to tap more. To be honest, we had other wrestlers ready to come to Japan, which got, you know, postponed by COVID and everything. But he is one of our key members to find international talent because he spent so much time watching them.
Great. Oh, so fingers crossed we see Gene Money in DDT then.
Yeah. Maybe he beat.
Ultimate Party is coming up next. You've got a massive match against Jun Akiyama.
Hi.
How did this one become a thing? How did it develop?
So let me explain that a little because it's more factual and it's a little wordy explanation. But Akiyama came over to DDT on a rental transfer, much like in the soccer industry, and then decided to become, you know, a roster member until the end of the year for now. And when he came in, Akiyama precisely named Takeshita as one of his key interests who wants to fight. And Takeshita and Akiyama had fought before. That is why Akiyama had his eye on Takeshita, understanding that he recognized Takeshita as the ace of the company. And ever since, his faction, Akiyama's faction, Junretsu, and Takeshita's faction, All Out, have been in a contest to see who is better. And it has evolved and finally culminating at Ultimate Party in a single match between the top members of each promotion in a singles match.
Wow. Amazing.
Really cool. So I suppose with all that in mind then, how do you see that match playing out?
Maybe real match. Akiyama-san's elite to onaji imi desu ka ne? Akiyama-san, sorry, for example, New Japan, All Japan, Noah, called Japanese people major.
There's a distinction between major promotions and indie
promotions. The DDT is an indie promotion called.
Right.
But Akiyama-san's major style, major wrestling elite. For example, before wrestlers, amateur wrestlers, good.
Good. He had a great amateur wrestling career. And for example, in All Japan, if you're an amateur wrestling elite, you get a big press conference when you join the company, as opposed to a regular young boy gets no press conference and they have to start from the ground up. There's a big...
Elite. But me, same. But indie promotions, elite. Elite versus elite. But major versus indie.
Sure.
Nice. Hi.
Maybe, それを見てほしいですね。
So he wants you to see how he matches up, sums up against the elite of the main scene as an elite of the indie scene himself.
Great.
That's awesome. Such an interesting way to frame it. I'm really looking forward to seeing that match.
Yeah, me too.
So beyond this epic encounter, there's several big matches that have been scheduled for Ultimate Party.
Mm-hmm.
Which other matches do you think fans should look out for other than your own?
Main event, KOD title match, Tetsuya Endo versus Daisuke Sasaki. Recently, Damnation is unit separate Sasaki's team and versus Endo's team. But Sasaki is Damnation's boss, but separate. He's very sad. So, but wrestlers can be beat sad power. わかります。悲しみをこうって言いたいですけど。
He says that wrestlers have the power to overcome sadness and must do so in the ring. Basically, Sasaki founded Damnation. It expanded into a team of almost 10 people now, but everybody turned on Sasaki and Sasaki got kicked out. But Sasaki still claims that he is one man Damnation. And Endo claims that they are Damnation. So, originally, Endo wanted to face Kenny Omega, but because of Corona, we could not get Kenny Omega to come to Japan. Then Endo said there are two people he must beat in his career. One is Kenny Omega and the other is Daisuke Sasaki. Endo understands that Sasaki gave him the coat of paint. Endo used to be a team with Takeshita. But he left Takeshita to be able to beat Takeshita. And he sought out Sasaki's guidance in doing so. Now he understands that what he has right now was given to him, bestowed upon him by Sasaki. So in order to be independently become a true number one wrestler, he feels that he must defeat Sasaki.
Right, that makes sense.
And then... looking more generally into the future, what other goals do you have for yourself, Takeshita?
My goal is a DDT company promotion is a number one top promotion. My goal.
Great, like that. And so, with the big show coming up, where can international fans watch Ultimate Party?
This is Universal.
Yeah. We have our streaming service, Wrestle Universe. ddtpro.com/universe. It's 900 yen a month with first monthly payment free. Not only do you get DDT, you also get Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, which is also having their biggest show ever for the promotion on November 7th. And we have other brands like Gambare Pro, Boys, which is all male, and the audience is all female. And that's a very popular brand in and of itself. And we have Pro Wrestling Noah now in the mix. As long as some other promotions too, for example, when someone from our roster wrestles in an outside promotion, sometimes we get footage from that. We recently had a Game Changer Wrestling show in which Yoshihiko wrestled in the U.S. He's on a solo U.S. tour right now. So we got a show there. So that all comes on Wrestle Universe. So if you want, please watch Ultimate Party 2020 on Wrestle Universe.
My recommend match, me versus Yoshihiko this year. Boneyard match, please. Watching, please.
Yeah. In June, we had what was our biggest show of the year, aside from what's coming up in Ultimate Party, which was Wrestle Peter Pan. It was a No People 2-day show. Day one main event, Yoshihiko versus Takeshita, in which Takeshita lost an eye.
You've made a remarkable recovery.
Yes, it's all perfect. He had lots of protein and lots of sleep.
That'll do it.
Fantastic. Well, look, thank you both so much for your time. I'll make an attempt at some Japanese here and say domo arigato.
Arigato. Arigato gozaimasu. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys.
And what a lovely, lovely chat that was. As I say, two absolutely charming guys. And I think you summed it up really well earlier. Honoured to have that conversation. And so great that they were able to facilitate us and do it in English. I mean, you heard my attempt at Japanese at the end there. I mean, Takeshita's English was superb. So a huge thank you to all the guys over at DDT for doing that. And really look forward to covering Ultimate Party.
Yeah, that's right. So Ultimate Party is coming up on the 3rd of November, which we're very excited about. You've got the King of DDT Openweight Championship match, seeing Tetsuya Endo, the champion, taking on Daisuke Sasaki. For the DDT Universal Championship, we've got fellow Brit Chris Brooks, the champion, taking on Yuki Ino. Now friend of the show, Konosuke Takeshita, taking on legendary Japanese wrestler Jin Akiyama.
Jesus, yeah, that's going to be an absolute brawl. Really looking forward to that one. And just a quick point, all of that is going to be available on Wrestle Universe, which is the streaming service that hosts DDT. Now, look, if you have a spare £10 or $10 US or whatever it may be, I think it works out slightly less than that. This is probably a really good month to get involved with Wrestle Universe, because not only do you have Ultimate Party, but you also have Tokyo Yoshi Pro's Wrestle Princess, and you also have Noah's big event of the year, all within the next couple of weeks. So a great jumping on point to get involved and to see some fantastic wrestling.
Remember to wait until the first of the month, though. Japanese streaming services charge you from whenever you join up to the end of the month, and then it renews on the first. So to get most bang for your buck, sign up for Wrestle Universe on the 1st of November.
Good point, well made. So there we have it. And I think that almost does it for this episode of the Wrestling Podcast. Had a lovely time with you, as always, spending it in Japan, New Japan and DDT. So what's going on for next week, I hear you ask? Well, we're back in the US for Impact's Bound for Glory pay-per-view. And then another interview? Oh, go on then. So ahead of Tokyo Yoshi Pro's Wrestle Princess show, we're going to be speaking to Maki Ito. I'm really excited for that conversation as well.
Next week, we're going to be drafted into the Ito Respect Army.
Woo! In the meantime, you can keep up to date with all the wrestling news over itrwrestling.com. Do dip into the New Japan and Elsewhere sections, where you will find myself and Gareth adding articles and news on a daily basis. Over in the interview section, if you've enjoyed this conversation around DDT, you may be interested to know that over the weekend, I will be posting an interview with DDT President Takagi. This was a really interesting conversation, so if you have a chance, do have a look. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You can also support us over at InsideTheRopesMagazine.com. Tons of interesting content there on a monthly basis, and a glorious wrestling magazine for wrestling fans. Beautiful stuff. On the socials, you can find us at Twitter and at Instagram at WrestlingPod. That's wrestling without the E. And if you have any thoughts or feedback, any promotions you want us to be talking about, why not send us an email? That's WrestlingPod, again without the E, at gmail.com. But if you want to follow our friends,
you can follow our lovely guest today, Takesta, at Take Soup. That's just the words take and soup, as you would normally spell them. Mr. Haku is at Mr., which is spelled out M-I-S-T-E-R, Haku, H-A-K-U, San, S-A-N, Mr. Haku San. And DDT English Update is at DDTPro_ENG.
Yeah, do give those folks a follow. Wonderful content, wonderful stuff indeed. And I think that about wraps it up for this, the fourth episode of the Wrestling Podcast. He's been Gareth, I've been Liam. We've had a lovely time chatting with you. Until next week, stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the grabs.